Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is a Bruins Thursday. We're joined right now by Andrew Raycroft, the Razor of Nesson, and he's brought to you by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. What's up, Razor?
Good morning, gentlemen. What's happening? I feel like I should be the one asking questions today.
Oh, Pete. Ask. Oh, I like this. It's a role reversal. Oh, ask away. Yeah, go.
Yeah,
What do you want to know?
Oh, I'm just impressed with his knowledge of the inside. What's next? That's what I'd like to know. When's this team going to turn it around? Those kind of questions.
I got them winning tonight. Yeah. I don't know if that's a scoop necessarily. And I do think, Razor, there's going to be trades way before the trade deadline. I don't know if you've heard anything on that front, but I don't think that the coaching change is going to be the only change in the near future.
Well, I would agree that it's pretty clear that average or mediocrity or middle is not the expectation for this group. And yes, I believed Don Sweeney when he says if this doesn't click, there's going to be more. And I would imagine there'll be more even if they start clicking.
Okay, so who are we talking about?
No, I have no idea. But that's for scoops to find out. I don't know those kinds of
guys. Let's circle back. You're running the team. Let's say you're Don Sweeney. Where are you looking? Where do you need more production out of, and where would you look to make upgrades?
Well, I think the back end's going to get better. I think they need to focus on defensive structure a little bit. I think they've lost their way a little bit trying to create offense or get on their horse and get going forward. So I think that's what Coach Sacco is going to, start with. That's the easiest place to start as well, is you take care of your own zone, you take care of the neutral zone, you take care of the rush chances, then you usually create a little bit more. So I'm not looking to change anything on the back end. I think everybody improves over the course of the year. I think that, of course, up front, you're still looking at a top six winger. I don't know. They don't really grow on trees, those power forward wingers that can score in the NHL, but that's where I'd be kicking tires.
Where do you think it went wrong for Montgomery this season? Because it did seem like he went down kind of swinging. Like Jones and I talked about how, he sits Pastrnak for a period because of a turnover. He obviously was changing the lines a lot and things weren't really clicking. I think he left Swayman out there in a couple of games where he was not performing well, but he's like, you're going to stay out there. Like, it did seem like he was trying things, but ultimately it wasn't able to click.
No, it wasn't. And I think, now that we're dealing with hindsight, you're looking at it and of course there's noise and they all hear the noise. And this has been, the coach conversation has been at least a month now, and I'm sure he heard it. I'm sure he decided, it seems like in hindsight, he decided, I'm going to do it. If I'm going to go, I'm going to go down on my own terms. And that's where you sit David Pastrnak and you, give your goalie a message, I suppose, in a 7-2 game. I don't know. I don't have like a pinpointed, aha moment that I look at where the light went off where I'm like, ooh, that's it. Other than the Columbus game the other night to lose 5-1 at home. And after losing 3-2 to St. Louis at home in an afternoon game on Saturday, that's like, oh boy, that's, you know, that should probably do it at this point, because that's just not what the Bruins are used to seeing, and Bruins fans for that matter.
Do you think he'll be a head coach in the league next year?
I do, yeah. I think he'll get – there'll be – the. So it's really funny, right, how there's a little bit of a narrative while they're firing a lot of coaches here, and they've gone through three Jack Adams. Well, there's only four guys. I went through it this morning. There's only four guys that were hired in the NHL with the team they're on right now before 2022. Like, there's going to be seven more guys hired over the summer. It's a crazy sport. It really is. Like, at this point where Monty got fired, he's actually one of the longest tenured guys in the National Hockey League. So, yes, there's going to be seven or eight guys fired over the summer. And, yes, I would imagine Jim Montgomery has three, four interviews and can probably choose where his next destination is.
Talking to Andrew Raycroft of Nesson, the Razor, on a Bruins Thursday here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. I want to circle back to something you said before. You said the Bruins could use maybe some help on the back end, maybe a top six wing. How do they get that? They don't have prospects. I guess they could trade more picks, but they're tight to the cap, so you got to send out money to bring in a player like that. How did they do that?
Well, again, and the reality is, on top of that, Jones, is that trades in the NHL are really hard. The good news is the cap's going up. The good news is there is money out there, and there's probably a few players that that would fit more of that rental mode. And the Bruins might have a couple of those guys that they might not be able to get signed, that are looking to the free agents that are Trent Frederick or Morgan Geeky and those kind of names that other teams look for a bump, and maybe the fit or the style is just a little bit different. So you always look at guys that are near the end of their contracts in the NHL, because that's really what motivates teams to make moves, because of the hard cap.
You know, 2 days ago, I think it was, Fluto Shinzawa wrote about Jeremy Swayman's relationship with players inside the locker room. And one of the lines in there was, if Swayman continues to take backward steps, he will not have many friends left in the dressing room. I don't know what you know about this, but the offseason was very much dominated by Jeremy Swayman and his contract. He signs before the season, but he wasn't ready to play in the first game. We know he didn't go through the camp and everything, and then he shows up, plays in game two, and the results haven't been great. But are there a lot of players in the locker room looking at him kind of sideways because of this offseason?
I'm certainly not privy to those guys. Like, I don't think, and I'm unless Fluto's getting it directly from a player, like, I don't know how any of us in the media would really get a sense of that. Being on a few of the, like, it seems like everybody's getting along. I haven't seen any in bickering. Of course, there's whenever there's losing, right? Whenever there's losing in these pro sports, any of them, you hear stuff like that. Somehow it sneaks out, and especially now, and I think Jeremy Swayman's figured this out over the last 2 months, is when you sign a big deal, especially in this city, the target's a monster on your back. It's an absolute monster target on your back, basically no matter what. Short of winning a Stanley Cup, there's going to be criticism. There's going to be random things said. And I think he's up for that mentally. I think the Bruins thought and expect him to be up for it. They wouldn't have given him the deal, because they know that drill as well. Back to the question, it's, I have no idea. Like, I wouldn't know how to know that. And at the end of the day, if you win, it doesn't matter. That's the other bottom line. If Swayman has a 920 and wins 70% of his games, no one will care if they don't really like him.
I mean, overall, wouldn't most players want their teammates to make the most money possible? It almost, like, no matter how it happens. Because I remember years and years ago, Brett Favre called out one of his receivers. I think it was Javon Walker was like a holdout, and Favre called him out, and then he got a ton of backlash. It was like, dude, you got your money. Like, let these guys get their money. So Swayman finally became a free agent. I would think other players, now I know everybody's different and you're not going to have all the guys feel the exact same way, but I would think for the good of your teammate and the good of the sport, don't you want everybody making the most money possible?
Yeah, no question. I really don't recall a situation where I begrudged another player, or I was on a team where a few guys thought, oh man, I can't believe he wants more money, or I can't believe he got more money. Mm-hmm. as individuals, you might look at another player and say, wow, I'm better than him. I should be making that much money. Like, I can't believe he got that deal. That's a good agent, et cetera. But you're not really blaming the player. And you know, of course, organizations are all together as one, but there is a bit of a line between the NHLPA and the NHL owners. That we've seen that numerous times over the last 20 years. And so, yeah, I couldn't agree more that a player saying, being mad that someone else makes a lot of money, just doesn't, yeah, that doesn't really fit a narrative that I've been around or seen.
What's wrong with Swayman? Because last time we talked, we were looking at the power play goals. Those were an issue. The Bruins were spending a lot of time in the box. You know, now it was a penalty shot in the Dallas game, but it was six even strength goals. It was five goals the other night. Two of them were shorthanded. And so what's up with Swayman now? He can't blame power play goals anymore. What's going on there?
Yeah, sure. So you're right. Prior to that, you know, we talked about, I think I mentioned his 5-on-5 save percentage was still in the top 10 and the power play was struggling, et cetera. And then, so now this is what I probably spoke about before here, or, you know, I've definitely talked about, is this is where being a starting goalie in the National Hockey League, this is where it's different. This is where not having a rotation, not having your days off in between games is a big difference, because he's given up 12 goals in his last two games over a 6-day period, and he's got to go back in there tonight and figure it out. So this happens to all goalies throughout the league at over a 6-, 7-, 8-day period, and you have to find your way out of it. If you don't, you have a bad season. This is, you know, the longer this goes, the longer your bad season lasts. If you get out of this and work through it and find a way to get back to your game, this is just kind of standard procedure for NHL starting goalie, but he hasn't gone through it before. And this is what I was talking about, the difficulty of being a starter, and he never really did it in Providence either. So he's up for a challenge right now, and he's got to find a way through. And now with a new coaching change, all eyes will be directed at them, at the players, at the core, at the best players, and of course probably starts with Jeremy Swayman at this point.
And I know his contract, obviously he's a guy that is going to play 55 games, and that's the goal and going forward. However, because it has gotten off to a slow start, would you consider over the next, I don't know, 20 games going back to a more 50-50 split? Korpisalo has played pretty well, and maybe Swayman can gain some confidence that way?
I would imagine they had a schedule in mind, and they always have. They've always talked about basically at least a month in advance, kind of booking out where guys are going to play. That's how most NHL teams are run. I would expect that, and now with a new coach, we might get it. You know, this might be a little bit different. He might have a different view than what we've seen the last couple of years. Monty basically just held a rotation. So this is new territory with a new coach. I wouldn't be surprised if that schedule is more flexible now than what it would have been a month ago. Korpisalo continues his play, Jeremy Swayman continues to struggle, you might have to find a couple extra games and a couple extra work days for him. But I think right now with a new coach, I'm going to my starter and I'm saying, you know, all right, we all have a fresh start here. Let's put the last 2 months in the past and let's get cooking here.
Razor, you mentioned the spotlight now clearly on the players with Montgomery out the door, which I agree with. Is Don Sweeney the turnaround for this team? If they don't turn it around, could he be out of a job?
I think we have a long way to go for that one. That's certainly not happening midseason. So they have 6-7 months. And I get it. I really do. I really do get the, you know, of course. But again, I just kind of mentioned it, like the fact they've only had two coaches in the last since 2013 or 14, that's actually better than everybody else in the league. Like, I think I get like the everyone's just focusing on the Bruins here. But if you look around the league, like you ask about Montgomery, is he going to get hired? If Don Sweeney got fired tomorrow, he's got a job on Saturday. Like, he is considered one of the best.
Cirelli got a job quickly too, and they fired him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that was after missing the playoffs for 2 years. Don Sweeney's never missed the playoffs.
Right, but if they don't turn it around and they miss the playoffs, I guess is what I'm driving at. You think it would need to go longer than just a 1-year drought?
I would expect. I mean, that from my point of view, that if I was in charge, that would be the case. I mean, the guy, it's a pretty good. He's got a pretty good resume. I know it's easier to bash on these guys, and it's easier. He's been here a long time, so it's easy to get negative. But the reality is, they're, you know, and I know no one wants to hear it, but they went to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. They're in the playoffs every year. Like, there's 25 fan bases that would do anything to have the record that these guys have had under Don Sweeney, even 30.
I saw you and Tuukka were competing against the Spit and Chicklet guys on the golf course. How'd that go?
That was something else. So, yeah, we did that a month ago. It comes out today, I guess, maybe in the next hour or two. And, yeah, we had a heck of a match and a long day out on the golf course. So
you don't have to give us any spoilers, but who's the best out of those four and who's the worst golfer?
Yeah, Ryan Whitney is definitely the best. He's probably got 3 or 4 or 5 shots on Tuukka and I, who are about the same, and then Biz stinks. No spoiler, but yeah, the worst guy, Biz, comes out and birdies number one on top of us. So that's a bit of an insight onto how that goes. So it was a good day. It was fun.
Very good. Nice. A fast start for Biz. We'll see if the Bruins get a fast start here tonight. As they play their first game without Jim Montgomery. It's Bruins Thursday. Every Thursday, we're joined by Andrew Raycroft, the Razor of Nesson. At 11:20, Razor, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
You got it. Thanks, guys.